Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for Palm Sunday is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, reading verses 1 through 10. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the village ahead of you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it,' and he will send it back here without delay." They left and found a colt on the street, tied at a door, and they untied it. Some who were standing there asked them, "What are you doing untying that colt?" The disciples answered them just as Jesus had instructed them, and the men let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their garments on it, and Jesus sat on it. Many people spread their garments on the road. Others spread branches that they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." This is our text. Dear people of God, Jesus did a lot of strange things. He let John the Baptist baptize him. And even John thought that was strange, and John's job was baptizing. John said to him, "I should be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" John understood that the Son of God has no need of the forgiveness of sins, which is what John was giving out there in baptism. But Jesus knew better. Jesus was baptized, not for himself, but for you, who are now baptized into his name. Jesus once stopped by a well in the despised land of Samaria to talk to a sinful outcast woman. Jewish rabbis do not talk with sinful outcast mudblood women, but Jesus did. And by doing so, he made sure that his gospel was heard by many people in that place. Another time, Jesus sent the disciples out on the only boat that was available to go across the lake while he stayed behind and prayed. And the disciples did it. They didn't argue with Jesus when it came to those kinds of things. He had just fed the 5,000. What were they going to say to him? But in the night, Jesus then went walking right across the water, even past the boat, as if to beat them to the other side until they stopped him and asked him if it was him. See, Jesus did things like that, things that didn't make much sense. And here's another one. Jesus told two of his disciples to go into the little village that stood between them and Jerusalem and to steal a donkey and to bring it back to him. And he gave them some crazy instructions. "If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it,' and he will send it back here without delay." And what's crazier than that is that it worked. Some men stopped the disciples when they were untying the colt. The disciples said what they were supposed to say, and the men let them go. Well, how does that work? We know how it works. Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. Whatever he wants in heaven and on earth, he has. Jesus is the omniscient God, who knows all things in heaven and on earth. He knew what needed to be done that day, and he knew that that animal would be there for him to use. The real question is, Did Jesus just use his omniscient power to know that the animal would be there? Or did Jesus direct the whole history of the world, the history of that donkey, the history of those men, so that they would be there for him to use that day? See, the Lord is way more in control of our lives than we even imagine. There are no accidents. There is only the Lord. And why did the Lord use a colt? That's very strange. We're used to it. We think it's cute because we know the story. But kings don't ride on donkey babies. Kings ride on big white war horses. Not tiny little donkey babies that no one had ever sat on because it was too little and not good for anything. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that when the disciples went to get the colt, as Jesus instructed them to, they got both the colt and its mother. And when they brought the two to Jesus, they put their coats on both animals, even though Jesus only asked for the little one, because they couldn't imagine him getting on the little one. They figured he'd get on the big one. But Jesus doesn't do things the way we think that he ought to, unless you see what Jesus is doing. Our church fathers like to talk about how it would have been right for Jesus to ride a big white horse into Jerusalem. Or better yet, they talk about how Jesus should have called angels down, and he should have ridden on the backs of thousands of angels as he went into Jerusalem. Or they even talk about a natural thing. Imagine a stream by the city of Jerusalem that swells with water, and Jesus stands on a housetop and it swoops him down into the city. Wouldn't that be something? Then people would see how great he was. But Jesus did not come into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to show people his glory. Jesus came that day to show the people the humble champion of the Lord, who was about to shed his blood for the sins of the world. The victory was not won yet. You have to wait for Easter for that. Jesus came into Jerusalem on this day in full humility, riding on a donkey baby, as the prophet Zechariah said he would, not to begin his rule, but to begin his suffering, to begin his journey to the cross, where he would shed his blood for the sins of the world. And the colt identified Jesus as the Lord's choice to be that sacrifice of atonement for you. Now, the people acted appropriately on Palm Sunday, but you really wonder if they knew at all what they were doing. And the answer to that is no, they didn't know. If the disciples didn't know what was going on, the people had no chance of knowing what was going on. They just happened to be there that day and they fell into the proper response, but Jesus accepted their praise because they were right. The gospel writer John tells us that the reason that the people were out on that road on that day, on the road from Bethany into Jerusalem, is that the people were going the other way. The people were going from Jerusalem out to Bethany to see Lazarus, to see the man who had been raised from the dead. They went out there to poke him, to ask him questions, to hear his story, to see if he really was dead and then raised from the dead. See, the people were looking for something to do. They were in the city for the festival of the Passover, but Passover hadn't started yet. And in Jerusalem, there was no stadium, there was no gladiator fights. Their religion forbid such things. Jerusalem didn't have the entertainment that the other cities of the Roman world had. All Jerusalem had was the temple. And so the people were looking for something to do in their off time. And as they came out to see Lazarus that day, a buzz went through the crowd that the miracle man who raised Lazarus from the dead was also on the road that day, and the people went bananas. They took off their cloaks, their coats, their garments, and they laid them on the road for his chariot to roll over, because certainly he'd be in a chariot, wouldn't he? Now, apparently this was a thing, that you take your clothes and you put it on the road for the person greater than you to walk on. See, and then by proxy, you're in the road. And the great man walks on you, and that's a way to honor him. Other people, we're told, ran off into the field. Or Matthew tells us that they climbed trees. And they cut these branches and got other vegetation and laid that on the road as a soft carpet for the miracle man's conveyance to step upon. But better than what the people did to praise Jesus was the words that they used to praise Jesus. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. They were using Psalm 118 to praise Jesus. And I'd like to read that section of Psalm 118, and you'll see that they were praising Jesus with the words, but even more than that. Psalm 118, verse 25. O Lord, please save us now. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he makes light shine on us. Bind the festival with branches as far as the horns of the altar. So, not just the words, but the branches are also mentioned in Psalm 118 as a way to praise the Lord. Now, Hosanna means save us. But again, it's more than that. It means save us by saving you. The British sing, God save the king. And the idea there is, may God save the king and bless the king so that he can bless and save us as the nation. See, so also with the term Hosanna. May the Lord bless you and save you so that you can bless and save us. And we can't help but hear in their praise this line, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. This is the line that makes it so clear that the people that day were praising Jesus as the Christ. For it was promised to King David that he would have a son who would sit on his throne forever. And that son was certainly not Solomon. It was also promised to David that he would be the forefather of the Christ of God, who would be both his son and his God, as David called this future son his Lord. That's what Jesus was supposed to be. And that is what Jesus revealed himself as when he raised Lazarus from the dead, and as he rode into Jerusalem on that silly donkey baby on Palm Sunday in fulfillment of Scripture. So Jesus identified himself on this day as the promised Son of David, the promised Christ of the Old Testament, and as the Almighty and Omniscient Son of God. The only thing left for Jesus to do was to continue into Jerusalem 6 days later and die upon that cross for your sins. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.